بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Yesterday we had discussed etiquettes for spouses. Today we begin the etiquettes for wives. What etiquettes they should adopt in their lives as housewives, etc. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has stated, the woman who offers her 5 times salah, the woman who offers her 5 times salah, fast in the month of Ramadan, protects her honor, that is the chastity and respect, and obeys her husband, has the choice of entering Jannah from whichever door she wishes to enter from. Allah has given her an open ticket. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam has stated, the woman who offers her 5 times salah, fast in the month of Ramadan, protects her honor and respect, and obeys her husband, has a choice of entering Jannah from whichever door she wishes to enter from. For this to take note that a woman can be very pious also. Salah is on time, her ma'amulat, fasting in the month of Ramadan also, very chaste, very bashful, very modest. But together with that, she sort of obey her husband. Obviously in things that Sharia permits. Then she'll have the choice to enter into Jannah from whichever door she wishes to. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the woman who passes away in such a state that her husband is happy with her will enter Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, were I to command anyone to prostrate to anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would have commanded the woman to prostrate to her husband. If the husband orders the wife to carry the boulders of one mountain to the next, and then to a third, she will have to do this. So we can see the gravity of these ahadith. If the husband orders the wife to carry the boulders of one mountain to the next, and then to a third, she will have to do this. So together with this, doesn't mean the husband takes advantage now. And he says to her, you heard the hadith that you must do this. Yes, he can suggest, he can encourage. And this is to make her oblige in a cheerful manner. Not everything now he will tell her to do will be according to her wish, according to how she wants to do it. So there has to be some compromise, some sabr. And more than often you will find the husband doesn't ask her to do very, very big things. Just minor things sometime, but not in the mood. Not in the mood. So the injunctions of Sharia don't depend on one's mood. What has to be done now? You see, amr ka hal ko dekhna. What is the command of the situation right now? To fulfill the command of the situation right now, and that is my success. Etiquette number one. Obey your husband in all permissible matters. Obey your husband in all permissible matters. This will draw the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of women is she who makes her husband feel happy. When he looks at her, and he's happy. The best of women is she who makes her husband feel happy when he glances at her. She obeys him when he instructs her. And she does not oppose him in regard to herself and her wealth by doing what he dislikes. Obey your husband in all permissible matters. So if the husband has to suggest, encourage, request something permissible, then some amount of sabr and patience, this will draw the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the husband will make dua for her. He will understand, my wife is compliant, alhamdulillah. Is it difficult to ask anything? And together with that also the husband doesn't be difficult. That now the wife must tell the children, hold on, let's see what mood papa is now, ask him later. As my Hazrat says, that we got too many nakhras. Don't know what mood he is right now. So let's see now, maybe morning, maybe afternoon, maybe evening, they got to gauge the situation. The husband shouldn't be like that also, easy going. It should be layyinun, sahalun layyinun. Be easy, be soft. Not that see his mood, how's he feeling, had a bad day, or whatever it may be now, or he's tired. But it should be easy going, we can talk to him anytime. And Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam was like that also, easy going. Even a slave girl could come and ask Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to speak to him, and she could take him to the street corner and make him sit down. I need some time from you. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, the best of women, the best of them. Here now, not the women are saying that you are good, but the husband is saying. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam is saying, the best of women
is she who makes her husband feel happy when he glances at her. When he glances at her, obviously now with muhabbat and love. Here our kabir say also, when a person enters the home, then enter the home cheerfully, with a smile, with salam, no matter what a day you had. But now at home they are waiting, they should be waiting for you. Hazrat says, shouldn't be now. The wife knows he's coming home at 5 o'clock, already she's afraid now. I don't know what mood he's coming with. And then too, Allah forgive us, we walk in now with the cell phone on our ears. Still on the cell phone. No time for salam also. Didn't even acknowledge the wife is waiting, or she dressed up, or the children, nothing. Just carried on with the work now. No acknowledgement. If we have to finish the work in the car, finish all the work in the car, then enter nicely, cheerfully, put the cell phone away, and acknowledge them at home. That's how we should be entering the house. Not that the wife is afraid now. She's afraid. And Hazrat also once gave this bayan in Stanger. He gave the bayan in Stanger that if the masturat and the lady knows also that my husband is a bit temperamental, tika magaj, garam magaj he is. When he comes home now, always he's not in the mood. So Hazrat says that you make an effort as the masturat, as the wife, and you know what his likings are. So what he likes, if he likes a clean house, alhamdulillah, they keep the house tidy, they keep it clean. But you know, he likes something cold, he likes something hot. So have you prepared some milkshake, whatever it may be, have it ready for him. And then you know he likes that you must be dressing well. One of our sati says that every day I curse the design of the captains, the Samira captains. He said, whoever designed this thing, Allah's curse on him. He said, they forgot how to dress in the house. So they put on the captain. And more than often he's smelling of tarkari. So khair. So that she knows he wants you to dress up nicely now. So dress up. Go to the tailor, have something now, something made up, some decent clothing to wear in the house also. So not only when she's going out, but within the house also, that she looks amicable, attractive enough. So she knows, Hazrat says now, you know he's coming home at certain time, so be prepared for him. Dress up nicely, and if you like something cold, have it prepared. So even if he comes now with a heavy heart and he's in the mood also, he'll see, mashallah, you made some effort, you came to the door, you opened the door, and you're waiting there now with a glass of milkshake, whatever it is. Assalamu alaikum, how was your day? Already have the tension to be released. Sit down, have it now before you go to the bathroom. Or go, come back, sit down, take out your shoes if you have to. Right, and ask him how was his day. Press his head, press his shoulders. These are little things. These are little things, but we know how difficult it is for us to do it also. These little things, but we can turn the whole mood around. But unfortunately, now there's so much of stress and tension. Husband will come, ringing the bell, and he's hooting, nobody's opening. And she's shouting away, somebody open the door, Papa is here. The child comes, open the door, and he runs away. Door is left open, he needs somebody to help him to empty the car, nobody's coming. Then he comes in now, all in a huff and a puff, where's everybody? You can't say I'm busy, I'm cooking food. He said, shouldn't be like that. You know he's coming now. Give him his man. And it takes 2-3 minutes only, and you create such a muhabbat environment in the house. Hazrat says now, little bit, go the extra mile, and look at this. Hadith Sharif is saying that, the best of women. Nabi Ali Salatu Salam is calling you the best of women. That when the husband looks at you, then he feels happy to glance at you. Now when he'll come, he'll give daggers only. And besides that, you gave him a big order. And he forgot to go. And now he went after hours. It took him longer, cut his eating time down. Now he's entering with all the packets. Alright? And you got no time to give him a look also. So obviously he is going to get angry. He's going to get irritated. So it takes just a little bit adjustment. Adjustment of one's tartib and one's habits. Go to the door, wait for him, make salam with him. And here ulama say when she will make salam, he'll make salam. They'll exchange smiles also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will smile down upon them. Allah's rahmat will come upon them. So just a few moves now the wife has to make. And alhamdulillah, all his anger will go away. Ask him a few questions, make a few moves, and alhamdulillah, it'll go away. Hazrat gave this bayan in Stanger. 6 months later, also Hazrat came back to Stanger. So one old man met Hazrat Wala. Hazrat, what a bayan you gave the last time. For the last few months, it was like Jannati house. The way you enjoyed it, but Hazrat, you have to repeat that bayan, they forgot already. Back to normal tartib. Back to normal. I have to open the door, I have to go in, don't know where everybody is, can't find anyone. House is so big, living like in hotels. To look by, where's the children? Where so and so? Where are you right now?
And when walking to the house, she just walked past me, no salam, busy, busy, busy. The whole house now is to host one another. It's for the husband to come, look after him now. He's the one that, alhamdulillah, accommodated everything here. But as we say, no man, no acknowledgement also. We're just carrying on in our busy chores. So the best of women is she who makes her husband happy, or feel happy when he glances at her, that his eyes are cold. When he looks at her, she gives him a smile. The way she carries herself out in front of the husband, she knows his likings. She obeys him. She obeys him. Obviously, he's a difficult person too. He won't give her some wayward command to do something. She obeys him. He might ask her a few things. So she will, accordingly, with politeness, with cheerfulness, she will answer him. So she obeys him when he instructs her. And she does not oppose him in regard to herself. Meaning now, when husband wants some intimacy with her, then she does not oppose him. She allows it. She understands now he has a need. And she has to take care of his needs also, because the world out there is inviting him away all the time. So he comes home, then she is prepared for him. And her wealth, she does not oppose him in regard to herself and her wealth by doing what he dislikes. So her wealth, obviously now, doesn't mean he can abuse it. It means now where she's spending, which avenues. At least now she makes mashwara with him. If he's that type of a person now, that will give her good counsel and good advice. So she does not obey him. He might ask her, why you spent here? Why you did this? Although it's your wealth, but he's also concerned. It doesn't be squandered. Sometimes you just waste it away. And you know, women now, somebody will put something there on the internet or DP, and then she wants to buy it. But do you need it? Just in case. And she's just storing away and storing away and storing away. Or sometimes you feel now, certain friend of mine, husband went down, I feel sorry for her. So I'll buy it now, just to make her happy. Now, okay, there's a limit for all of that now, where to spend and how to spend. So she makes mashwara with him. When your husband enters the home, always make salam cheerfully and give him a warm, affectionate smile, no matter how difficult your day may have been. So as I said, these are small things now, just to tweak our lives. Similarly, when he leaves home in the morning, make a point of kissing him. These are all etiquettes of a Muslim home. And make him salam. Salam is a means of engendering great love and happiness in the home. So make these things a point now before he leaves. Obviously now, these gestures of affection shouldn't be done in front of the children. These are done now behind closed doors, in front of the domestic also. These are all now intimate things that are done behind closed doors. So like this now, she sends him off also happily and cheerfully. If we had a difficult or a tiring day, which is almost every day, try to appear cheerful. Husband who has a long day, and we know the whole chakkar of our lifestyle. Right? But it shouldn't be so much of stress for the wife at home. And now more than ever before, subhanallah, whatever the wives want, the husband are giving. Whether you want one maid, whether you want two maids, whether you want the garden boy, whether you want this, whether all the facilities are already, mashallah, rolled out in the homes. However they want it is done. Then too, there's so much of stress. So much of stress, so much of tension is ajib. And the cell phone won't leave in between. Cell phone, and then the domestic, and the rest of it. So by the evening, they're still tired. No matter how much the husbands are investing in the home to make things easy, but then too, they're still tired. So something is just not right. How come now the wife is still so tired at night? Yes, the children are there also. Sahaba-e-Kiram also have plenty of children. But as I mentioned before, we are so involved in their lives that mentally she's tired. Come home after Isha, he's still doing homework. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, still doing homework. And the father is to get involved in the homework. Mother is involved in the homework. There's no life now. That's questionable. Is this an Islamic life? If this is what we were sent for, 12 years we finished in school. Now we're taking another 30 years, another schoolwork. 3 children, 4 children, doesn't mean 12 years. No. It's just carrying on. And there's no time now for muhabbat, sit down, let's make talim, let's think now, which way we're going in life, what are we doing? It's just, we went through it, they're going through it, and we're still going through it. And it's going to carry on like this. And really, it's like aimless. We don't know which way we're going, and end of the day, ask the parent, what are you going to get out of this? What are you going to get out of this? That child may become whatever he may become. How much are you going to get out of it? Many parents now, they go for the awards day and they're gleaming. He got so many awards. What are you going to get out of it? He's going to get his degree. He's going to move on in life with his wife. Whether he'll give you anything or he'll give you something, but so much of pride over really what? What is there so much for you? Real pride, real awards day is Qiyamah's day.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call your child. He put the crown on your head. You made him hafiz al-Quran. He gave a ta'aleem. Allah says, Nabi alayhi sallam said, two daughters, one daughter. We gave them dini ta'aleem. You nurtured them. You brought them onto bashfulness and modesty. Gave them solid deen. Give them good homes. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, for you is jannat. That's your awards day. That's your awards day. When Allah ta'ala will call you now, the stage will be set up, crown on your head. Then you can say, now I really made it. This world now is just a deception. Awards, my child got so many awards that the reality, it looks gold but it's plastic. It looks gold but it's plastic. Is that real? Allah Pak will give you a real award. A real award in this world also, for contentment, or mahabbat and love, you put them in deen, put the children in deen also, completely in deen you put them, and in dunya according to need. Then you'll find the awards day. Also in dunya, the father now, mashallah, pushed his children in the right way. Now the son is walking into the musalla, performing the salah, is giving the khutbah. I couldn't do it, this is my son, this is my grandson. What a reward from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we can see now which way our lives are going. We got 5 children, 4 children, you know the next how many years we're going to carry on through that system now. We're going to carry on and carry on and carry on. We went through it and now we're going through it. Still, it's going that way. So the wife got no time now to even smile in the home. She's so stressed out. Tomorrow they got homework. He only took out his books now. They gave him last week the homework. He didn't do it. So weekend, we're not going anywhere. In husband plan already now and have a peaceful weekend. It's finished. There's no peace for the weekend. He to now, he's doing homework. We can't go anywhere. They all got projects to do. They got this, they got that. Is that life? Something to ask ourselves, but we're so into the rut right now. That life and days are coming out like that. Days are coming out like that. Day after day, and as Muni Magda Sahib mentioned one time, he says, when Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi told them as a young couple, he told Apa, yeah, both of you are a bit jawan here. He told, you're both are young, enjoy your life. Make muhabbat, make love how much you can now. One day you're going to get old and you can't do all that. So, you still have the jawani, you still have the strength, you're still young. Akabe said, go enjoy your life. Don't get so serious now about deen also. So serious, as Mawlana mentioned one time, that they're talking about, young couple talking about, hey, you must die with iman. Hazrat said, what are you talking about that? You just got married, enjoy your life. That you'll make the effort of dying on iman. Khatima bil khair. Hazrat dua karna, khatima bil khair nasib ho jao. Magda sahab mentioned. Abba asked, for Hazrat ji, make dua Allah ta'ala give you khatima bil khair. He said, ja, khuddo. Maza karo, enjoy your life, jump, enjoy. You're still young, you're talking big things now, dying with iman. Just got married now, still young. You got energy in you. Making muhabbat, enjoying, jumping with your husband. Allah is writing reward, sabab for you. Look at them, how much in love they are. So much they're enjoying themselves. They're reading kitab together. Then they're making muhabbat, and he's taking her for a drive. Akabe said, now you got to take them a little bit out. Not in the day when he's busy. Take them after Isha. Take them for a drive. They need to a little bit get things out of their mind. Now we sit in the car. It's better to fight in the car than in the house. But then nobody can run away. And then you can shout how much you want, no problem. She knows she can't go anywhere. You know I'm stuck over here. So you've got to listen now. After the whole thing, keep quiet, mashallah. And I told him, you can't, you got the frustration here, mashallah. You can put foot down. And take out the frustration and you go buy ice cream after that. Go buy the ice cream, you buy the coffee quietly and sit. And sip away. And then Allah Ta'ala will sort it out. Better in the car than in the house. So, Akabir said, at night, take a little bit for a drive. Where there's no fitna, etc. We know certain roads now in Durban, we can't even go there. Too much of fitna. For the lady, there's fitna. For the man, there's fitna. Go somewhere that's quiet. Buy whatever we have to. And go sit by the beach if we have to. View the water, mashallah, is coming for the ice. And go and have a little bit your talk, whatever it may be now. So, we're going to take our time for this. I said, now there's no time. Why the children have so much homework? We can't even make a break to do anything right now. So if you had a difficult or tiring day, try to appear cheerful, try to appear cheerful. Yes, there is sabr. She has to make sabr. The husband also has to make a good sabr. Do not make a point of making your husband aware as soon as he enters the house that had a very heavy day. You just walk in now, there's no smile at you, no look at you also. Already you feel now, the waters are not still right now. It's about the storm is on. Didn't you give me a look? There was no salam, didn't hear it also. But at least appear to be cheerful. This could cause him to become angry. Now he came, he asked, what's the problem? What's wrong?
Either his children, either you did something, we forgot to answer, return the call. So this could cause him to become angry, gradually try to win his compassion and sympathy. You should abstain from all things in every form. You should abstain from all things in every form of behavior that will find disfavor with the husband. Don't do things now that will cause disfavor with the husband. Acquaint yourself with the moods and act accordingly to cultivate his pleasure. For long now, you've been telling the husband, accommodate, accommodate. Women are emotional beings. They also have to make a little bit of adjustment also. Yes, they are allowed a little bit. Quran says, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوبِ. Treat them kindly, accommodate them. Be kind to them. Don't abuse them mentally, emotionally. Also, it works both ways. It works both ways. Yes, there is a limit now of their emotions. There is a limit now to their anger. Beyond that, it's haram now. It can't be going all the way. That offload everything. Allah will get displeased also. There is a limit to everything now. Do not increase his worries. Strive to become a source of comfort and peace for him. Even though he's not like that, you, O Mustarad, going to make your Jannat also. You're going to make your Jannat. You can't say, nah, I destroyed my Jannat because of him. He was Tika Magad, so I also showed him attitude. No, you're going to make your Jannat too. He's on his own individual. He'll have to answer. She'll also have to answer. You can't blame anybody now. Blame the mother-in-law or the sister-in-law. It's because of them I was like this. Because of them I was bitter to him. Or because of them I got angry with him. Or because of them now I didn't comply. And I was stubborn. No. Then you could put your spiritual state right also and make your tarbiyat. Overcome your emotions and put it to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. What is the limit now of my emotional state of mind? Nowadays there's no limit as we see it. No limit. And now they will go out of the house with therapy now. Because I'm too affected. Too many things happen in my life. There's some amount of suffering. Not everything in life will go according to expectation and how you plan. As we always mention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us only management skills. Final decision is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's. We're going to manage our life, manage our emotions, manage our moods also. Yes, we know certain times in the month, but this now also has become with no limits. Certain time of the month, now I'm entitled to behave how I want to. He must understand it. He must understand it. This sabr also, this patience, is reward for it. And to go beyond the limits of no sabr is sinful too. So they will understand too, there's limits for everything. For the husband also, you understand there are limitations. We're all the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Endeavor to eat and drink from the same utensil. Endeavor to eat and drink from the same utensil. Share the same plate in the house with the wife. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he used to partake of meals with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, is to make it a point where she drank from that glass or that cup. He would take the same glass, he would turn it around and where she put her mouth, Nabi of Allah would drink from there also. So much of muhabbat. So much of muhabbat to show her that I'm so close to you. Maybe you may be distant, but I'm still close to you. Maybe you are angry, it doesn't mean I get angry also. I'll show you attitude. But no, still show the muhabbat. It takes a lot on the man's heart also. So drink and eat from the same utensil. Sometimes place a morsel of food in each other's mouth, not only to be practiced when newly wed. But yes, more than that, after that also. That put a morsel in one another's mouth, this is sadaqah. This will increase mutual love. One will be rewarded for this. As we can see, these are little things. A little bit just of adjustment of emotion, things you say, just a bit of a smile, eating from the same utensil, drinking from the same plate, same utensil you drink from. Keep the home, children, and most important, yourself neat and tidy when he enters the home. This will enhance his confidence in you. So very important, she has to learn to be neat and tidy. This being neat and tidy is learned from her mother's home. This is where her training will take place. But if her mother was busy also, then she never learnt. So the mother has to teach her how to be neat, tidy, how to pack the washing machine, dishwasher, how to pack the dirty dishes also. Can't be left all over the kitchen. Husband get irritated. Now he comes, he can't find anything. Can't even use the kettle. Everything is grimy. So this now, she knows how to look after the house. We create muhabbat in the husband's heart also because he's now arranged all his facilities and she's looking after it. This will enhance his confidence in you. A neglected home could affect his mood adversely. A neglected home could affect his mood adversely. Here also many women now, whether necessarily, unnecessarily, getting involved in home industry. Home industry, and the husband sometimes promoting it. The same thing now is, after that firing back at him.
She's busy the whole day. She's got orders to dispatch. People are coming in and out. So by the time he comes at night, she's tired. She's tired. I'm working the whole day also. I'm also working. And most of the time you ask her why, I like the extra money. I like my own money. I don't like to ask him every time. Quran has said that Allah has given men virtue over the woman, وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ because we spend upon them. Because we spend upon them. Now, because we haven't brought deen in the house, so she's got too much of free time. So do some home industry. In case, now I like my own money, my own this, so I can spend as I want to, and you can't ask me what I do with it. But this also has become a disease. And most of the time is in those homes that don't have to do it. The lady is bored. There's so many dini activities. Ask them how much they know. Ask her, is your namaz correct? Just check your salah is correct. Is your Quran tilawat correct? Are you doing it right? But we know when it comes to our women, they are perfectionists. They want it perfect. Everything must be to the T, perfect. They got this OCD with the children also. With the children, and with the kitchen, and their baking, and their cooking. Everything is perfect. But salah, that never came in the heart that I have to perfect my namaz, aqim salah. Perfect my Quran tilawat. Do I know my masail? We as husbands should have this fikr. We are worried about everything perfected in the house also. But is the salah perfect? Ask her, sit down one day. Is your namaz correct? Is it perfected? Ask in a cheerful, nice way. At least we'll get somebody to come and teach us. Oh, you go somewhere, learn your salah at least. Learn your Quran, get your few surahs right. Like this now, her talab and desire for deen will increase. Obviously, in the beginning now she feels a bit ashamed. We are going to go somewhere. But we have to give the targheeb all the time. We have to give the targheeb and the encouragement. Then the day will get full. The day will get full because of fear. The fear is on the day of Qiyamah when she will be questioned. The first thing she'll be questioned about on the day of Qiyamah will be her salah. Not only the men, the masturat ladies also. The first thing she'll be questioned about her salah. How was your salah? أول ما يحاسب بالعبد يوم القيامة الصلاة. You can't move before that. There's no moving, there's no way out. You'll have to answer for that. Like how the child, when you got him, why you did that? He can't move this way, that way. How he's so frustrated, the child, he can't make a move. We'll be asked, how was your salah? Did you perfect it? So ulama say, at that time, she looked for the husband. She will look for the husband, because I was his trust. He took me to his home. He's supposed to arrange these things for me. It was his responsibility. My accommodation, my eating, my drinking, my clothing, and my talim and deen was his responsibility. So she will look for him. That's how our Kabir says she will come looking for us. And she will grab your hand. Come and answer now. You took care, you gave me the house, you put properties in my name, you put the car in my name, you did this, you allowed me to go here to do that, cuisine and everything else. We did everything. You never told me I must perfect my namaz. You never spoke about it once at home. I never knew that I got to perfect my namaz. I knew this, I had to read my namaz. But you never told me once that I have to perfect it. You never checked my wudu, or my ghusl, or my taharat, whether I was washing my hair completely, nicely, whether I had cutics on my fingernails. You never even bothered to check the maskla. You let us do it. Nail polish, whether it's waterproof, non-waterproof, and all these things. The hairdos also nowadays. The hairdos make the hair waterproof. The ghusl is not made. You gave me the money, you sent me, you wanted all the different colors. So you sent me. Now these husbands say too, they want this color and this shade of hair, dye the hair, go to the salon, do it. Now whether it was, you put a lining on the hair, became waterproof. You like this, so I did it. So my ghusl was never made. My wuzu was never made. My salah was never done. So our Kabir says, Qiyamah says, she's going to catch you and she's going to pull you. Whether he's going to be your wife and he's going to be your daughter who grew up in your home. And then we can't say, but no, I was in the masjid. No, you had the responsibility of your household also, where you have to give the encouragement, the targheeb, and push them along. You have to perfect your namaz. How's your surahs? You've got to perfect your surahs also. Dua'i qunut, at-tahiyat, as we are learning. With this fikr has to come now with muhabbat and love, you've got to implement in our homes. Oh, they will get busy with everything else. As we're saying over and over again, there's no vacuum in our lives. If we don't fill that time with deen, something else will fill that time. We don't put there some ta'alim, some madrasa, some maktab, then something else will take their time. Some home industry will start, she'll get bored, I don't know what to do. The children has become such a thing now. Yes, it's a responsibility, definitely.
But he said the purpose of life. He said the purpose of life. Now we know, just looking after that one newborn baby, what extent we go. Now the baby showers, the whole taqaza on its own now. Viewing day. Viewing day, Maulidah Sahib mentioned that viewing day, according to Sharia, is like a bribery day. That means you're coming, it's a viewing day, come with something. Don't come empty-handed. So whether I want to take or I don't want to take, but I have to take something because it's a viewing day for the baby. You see, this is now, a very delicate or very subtle way of getting something out from the Masturat now. Don't come empty. So all these things now we've implemented. This shower and that shower and all these things over here. So all the time is going in preparing all these functions over here now. All the time is going into all these things over here. And we know now this is a reality, my brother. We have to say these things. The newborn baby came just to get one boob for the baby. Nani is seeing online, daddy is seeing online, mother is seeing online, sisters are seeing online to order just one boob. One super smart boob that nobody has just to get it. So much of effort now just to get the thing. Oh, so many people's time is going just in one thing. It's happening everywhere right now. One sadi told his wife, she was checking online. He said, what are you checking so long, so many days? No, I want to buy one boob. He said, why buy one boob? He said, what's so fancy? He said, no, this is a very nice boob. It's like this, like that. He said, we grew up, we know boob is a boob. She said, no, this one here is a very good quality. How much? 150 rand. 150 rand for one boob. He said, I'll give you 150 rand, go buy 10 from Pep stores. Go buy 10 from Pep stores. She said, no, this one you got to order online. They deliver to the house. He said, for one? You buy 10 for that amount of money. But so much of time goes into that. So we can see now where we invested their time. Where we invested their time. So all the time is going in this. Salah not perfected, Quran not perfected. But dunya is perfect. They want it perfected. Everything must be shining. As we mentioned before, the batin must be shining. Batin must be shining. The outside must be shining. And such, what you will say, this anxiousness they have all the time. That now we've gone to a different level. Allah forgive us. Allah forgive. We've gone to the level now where we've allowed now even the male boys to come into the house to do the work. But there's no parda left now. The male boys are coming because they clean better. So they're coming in the house. So we can imagine now the amount of fire in the house where his nazar and her nazar. So the husband walks in the house, is that a environment of jannati? You know? There's no cool air over there now. It's already the fire of Jahannam is burning in the house because Allah's masih, disobedience is taking place right now. His disobedience is taking place right now. She goes brazenly open, hair is open sometime, in front of the boy, and she tells him, do this, do that, because his husband doesn't know how to do it. So better I tell you. Then he's talking to the domestic also. So there's no muhabbat in the home anymore. There's no muhabbat. We can see it how it is. And we don't know, and who we blaming? Nazar. Somebody put nazar on the jadu. Somebody told me now. Everybody is full of jadu. And Amir came, he says, lot of jadu. He's full of it. I said, yes, we're creating it. We're doing all these things in the house. Allowing the boys in the house. He must wash the pot. He must clean the bathroom. And whether she's fully clad or not, she's alone in the house. Sometimes the husband is alone in the house. All these things are happening. And now we're so stuck into it that even thinking how I'm going to change this thing now is like a block now. Ya Allah, how am I going to do this now? You're going to make dua. You're going to make ta'aleem. We're going to make them aware that we have a purpose in life, we have a direction in life, we have to make it to Jannah together. So these things slowly, slowly with dua and effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change it. Try to complete your household chores early and quickly so that you can spend quality time with your husband and children. Do not disclose your husband's secrets or faults to either family members or friends. This has become common. She gets upset with her husband, she put on the DP. All her friends will see, or she messages a friend that is carrying on like this. Now the friend becomes a psychologist, becomes a counselor, becomes an advisor. Let's meet at the coffee shop. Yeah, my husband too is like this, your husband too is like that. So, you know, better we launch them, we go to a weekend together, ladies' weekend out. We don't need them. But they must pay the bill. They must pay it and we'll go for it. We just need to cool off from you all. Always conceal one another's faults. Conceal the fault. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. He too, don't tell his friends, my wife is like this and she's like that. Yes, if you need to go for advice, ulama ikram are there, somebody you trust, go to some senior in the
in the family, or things will just get worse. Quran says that you are covering for her, and she's a covering for you. Whatever shortcomings, whatever mistakes, etc., we cover one another's faults. Worse is to speak about one's physical relationship. That's absolutely haram. What happens behind closed doors, that we can't tell anyone. Be prepared for him at meal times, as the heat of hunger is very often inflammable. We know, hungry man is an angry man. So we mustn't use it now against them. That you know I'm hungry. And a hungry man is angry. We must keep cool. She's trying her best, alhamdulillah. So we be a bit patient. Remember the adage, a hungry man is an angry man. Do not mingle and speak to strange men. Don't mingle and speak to strange men. Here is a man's fault. He brings friends home. The wife must come and serve them. Worse than that we mentioned now is a socializing, couple socializing. We go together as couples for meals over the weekend. He's looking at your wife, you're looking at his wife. And we know what happens after that. It's become a norm now. This Western, absolute Western culture and lifestyle. Whereas young couples, we go out together and socialize. Absolutely haram. Allah's anger. We're not afraid of that. We're taking our young daughters sometimes. They're getting used to all of this. And then we can't control them after that. So all these things are happening. Nowadays, unfortunately, the fathers can't understand now to what limit they must protect their daughters. Now even daughter wants to get a proposal, whether they want to call the boy, father is not sure, call him or not. So don't call him, tell him we'll meet him at the coffee shop. Tell him, so I'll be sitting there also. You just go with your brother and your sister and your brother-in-law. They'll take you there, you can just meet him at the coffee shop, have a cup of coffee with him, and just see whether you like him or not. So all these fitnas are starting. It's going to backfire. It is going to hit back, we have to make tawbah from these things. This is not sharia and it's not deen. We can't play with the anger of Allah. As Hazrat Hakim Sahib would say, don't dare Allah. It is going to come back and it's going to hit back. All these things, we've got to stop it and come and complete into sharia, and Allah will give us the barakat in it. This will severely harm your marriage if you're allowed to speak to strange men, especially the brother-in-law. Hadith Sharif says, Alhamhu al-maut. Alhamhu al-maut. That the brother-in-law is tantamount to death. So severe words in Hadith Sharif to the wife. That your brother-in-law is moth to you, he'll kill your marriage. Don't intermingle with him. Don't intermingle with him. Stay far away. Don't eat on the same table also. Stay away. Because your marriage will die sooner or later, intermingling all the time. That my words. They say, don't shoot the messenger boy. I'm only the messenger boy. We're just passing on the message only. So all these things are there in the kitab, we're just passing it on. Never allow any strange man to enter your house in the absence of your husband. Shouldn't happen, it shouldn't be a cuckold that she allows anyone to enter, even the plumber or the electrician. Some male should be in the house and she should be behind closed doors or she should be covered. Not going in front. Not going in front and showing now the plumber this and this. This is the husband's job that he must be there, or her brother there, or her father there, or she has a son there. But it's not her responsibility now to show the electrician, to show the plumber, to speak to strange men. And she must make the appointments, etc. No matter how well you or your husband knows him, then too, he cannot be alone to the extent Hazrat Hakim Sahib was so particular about this, so particular. He would say, even though between your wife and your father, there is no parda. Remember, there are levels of parda also. This thing now, that the masturat have come about, it is my mahram, so I can be free with him. No. My son-in-law is my mahram, doesn't mean I can treat him like my son. Is that my son? Is my son-in-law. Although nikah between mother-in-law and son-in-law will always be haram, even though he may lose his wife, her daughter, or divorce takes place, he can still never marry. But that level of mahramiyat and being mahram between one another is not like how mother and son is. There's still some amount of what you will say, sharam, haya, and parda. Is that now this open mahram? I can go with him anywhere. Go with him shopping also. Go with him out of town, my son-in-law. I can travel with him also. No. Is that as easy as even between the son-in-law and the mother-in-law? Yes, they can never marry. Doesn't mean now we're free. Then I can have breakfast with mother-in-law. Can sit with her and chat away. Go in the bedroom and sit with her. No. Because against bashfulness and sharam and haya, that level of not being mahram to one another doesn't mean that we can be free as we want to. Yes, that mahramiyat we call being mahrams based upon nasabiyat. That is nasab. There's a biological relationship between a male and a female, then there's no parda. The degree of no parda is much different compared to when the mahramiyat and not being mahram is based upon in-law relations. It's different. Is that the same? This is my son, this is my father, this is my brother. There, having no parda is a different level. And this is my son-in-law, and this is my father-in-law. Yes, there is no parda, but it's different because this is based upon in-law relations. Nowadays, you don't understand that. The mother-in-law get upset that, you know, he comes in the house, he doesn't shake my hand, he doesn't give me a kiss, he doesn't give me a hug. Okay, son-in-law, he doesn't show muhabbat. He can't show you muhabbat like that. If you want that muhabbat, ask your husband to give it to you. Why you want it from the son-in-law? The husband must give you all that muhabbat. This is now, because he's seeing all these soapies and everything else. And we know where the fitna starts from. What's his frame of mind, what's her frame of mind? Hazrat Hakim Sahib will say, rahmatullah alayhi, that even your own daughters that have become of age, they're already built. He said, you shouldn't even hug them also. The most you should do is give them a kiss on their forehead, kiss on their hand. Kiss them on the head, put your hand on their head, make dua for them. There's no need to hug, because the man, too, you don't know what frame of mind you are right now. Right? And you know herself also, in her home, what's been happening now. This is your own daughter. Then we can imagine the daughter-in-law. There's no way of shaking hand with her also. Assalamu alaikum. How you been? How you keeping? Everything is okay. Alhamdulillah. That's sufficient. You don't have to chat her up. You have to crack jokes with her. She's married to your son. And so too now, with the mother-in-law and the son-in-law also. They also. Yes, a little bit, there is some, bay-takallufi, informality. But not like with your own children. So this, many, many families don't understand this now. And they're getting upset. They're getting upset that now my son-in-law doesn't want to come, stay with us, he doesn't come here. Sometimes in the day I like him just to come and blom, come and have a cup of tea with me. But he won't even come and do that also. He's so rigid. Right? They complain nowadays. That he comes here also, he sits like one mehman in the sitting room, in the lounge. Is that going to sit there like how he sits at home? There he'll take out his topi and take out his socks. Some mother-in-laws want that. No, he must come relax over here. I'm his mother. Doesn't matter, he must relax. He must come there, take out his shoes and relax in the sitting room. I bring for him coffee and tea, you know. Doesn't talk to me also. Doesn't tell me what's happening. That's your son-in-law. Obviously, there'll be some reservations. But the young couples now, the young mother-in-laws, they feel now something wrong with him. Yes, that he can do with his mother at home. With his family people, with his khalas, etc. Not with the mother-in-law. There is some parda, some sharam, some haya. So many of the things we find, although we are in deen, but many of the deeni concepts right now, we haven't taken completely in Quran and Hadith. We have taken from culture and our environment around us. And we've understood it now based upon the culture and environment. We haven't taken it direct from Quran and Hadith. Now, when the ulama ikram explaining it, now he's a shock. Now, what's this about? This is Quran and Hadith. What you've seen now of parda and the women are wearing is a cultural thing, more or less. Is that completely 100% right? But, alright, we will look at khair, inshallah, one day they'll come to the original proper parda. One piece of cloth like the Baghanis. How they wear parda. That's the original. But behind that parda now, you don't know is an 18-year-old or a 60-year-old. That is real parda. But as Mawlana Ilyas Sahib mentions now, that the hijab and parda they're wearing now in the cloaks is a black dress which needs a parda top of it. That's what it's become now. But we say, khair alhamdulillah, they're getting somewhere at least. And they shouldn't stop there. Make dua to Allah, give me a proper, complete parda. This should be the desire. So many things now that is happening in our society, we have deen, but much of it just came from the environment. We picked it up and we let it go. But there's much more to it in the Quran and the Hadith. If the wife's obligatory duty to beautify and adorn herself only, it is the wife's obligatory duty to beautify and adorn herself only for her husband. If she beautifies herself for anyone else besides the husband, even for the other ladies also, they're going for a function and are wearing this certain dress over here to attract attention for name and fame and show. Hadith Sharif says, clothing of name and fame and show will become fire for the day of Qiyamah. It will burn her. Because you wore this for pride. You wore this for pride. And this is something very sensitive in woman's life. Nobody should have like this what I've got. Now, way and way, we're not doing the shopping now. Because nobody must have this. This is something very, very delicate. The need behind dressing. So all that now they are wearing to show, impress others. Qiyamah's day is very detrimental. And Allah has put this in them. Beauty is there for them. Remember all these traits we have, evil traits. Anger. We have anger. We have jealousy. We have hatred. These are natural things in every human being. And our akabir say, we don't kill these things. Don't kill your anger. Don't kill your desires. Don't kill your hatred. Don't kill your jealousy. But channel it in the correct direction. It is there, channel it. It has to come out somewhere. Anger, he said, very good. You must have anger. But for the right reason. You can't be now so chill. As I say, gade ki tara. Like a donkey, don't get angry. Then you go in the battlefield, also Joro will come in the house. He say, Baba, take what you want. I don't get angry. He says, it's time to get angry. You go on the battlefield now, you can't, I'll just give the example. You go onto the battlefield, the enemy will come. He says, Baba, hold on, let's have one cup of tea first and we'll talk. He says, it's not time to talk now. He says, now fold your sleeves, come, I'll show you. Now you must get angry. You didn't read Fajr Salah, get angry on yourself. Why you didn't read Fajr Salah? I'll say, kick yourself now. Now give the sadqah, read 8 rakah salah to Tawbah. Get angry on yourself. Why I stripped, why I made the guna again? Now get angry. Get angry on yourself. Not you go home, you're irritated, you get angry in the family. You did something wrong, you're angry with them. So anger you got to have. Jealousy also, envy. Envy upon who? Those that, mashallah, are going ahead in deen. Subhanallah, yeah, look at them, look at them. So you should feel envious, yeah, Allah, I also want to get there. Not jealousy because you got more wealth than me. Yeah, Allah, you give him more also and give me also. That's permissible. So greed for a'mal, harisun alaykum. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was greedy for your hidayat. Ya Allah, got greed in me, channel it in the right direction. Greed for the hidayat of mankind, for the betterment of society and the community. So all these traits are there. This our kabir is saying, come and sit and we'll show you how to channel those qualities of yours. So we got to learn how to. So women also, they have this thing of beauty and to adorn themselves. So they must channel it in the correct direction. Wait for my husband. And we also give them that, mashallah. Sometimes we just don't see it. And as I mentioned before now, she say, you didn't see my new dress. Yeah, I'm supposed to tell you. You thought so loudly that you thought you said it, but you didn't say it. So acknowledge it. Every day, Hazrat says, every day you got to thank her, every day you got to comment her, every day you got to praise her. Is that a once-off thing? All these examples my beloved Hazrat taught us. He says that he took her for a 5-star holiday. 5-star, everything was organized, complete A to Z, business class and the works. And then he brought her back home. 1 week's time, the holiday is forgotten. Don't ever expect her to think and believe. Don't expect her to think and believe and remember what a holiday I gave you, now behave for the next 11 months. He says it's forgotten after 1 week. Like you never went for the holiday. After 20 years, when the fight will start, she'll tell you what you bought for me. I'm still using your mother's pots. You never bought pots for me also. Your mother's old curtains I'm using. All second-hand things you gave me. That's what she'll tell you. He says, don't expect any good word when the fight is on. She'll tell you all these things. Don't take it to heart. So channel now those traits and qualities she has in a direction now which will enhance her akhirat. Beauty, tell her I like it. When you dress with that dress, subhanallah, you know how much I love you more. You look so beautiful. She must feel it. But she waits for that now from other people. Other women must tell her. Or her father must tell her. Or somebody else must tell her. So make it a habit. Every day we have to do this. Every day we have to do this. As it says, we have to thank her after every meal. And tell her every day that she's the most beautiful woman to you. She looks so beautiful. Her dressing is so good. Her choice of colors. We've got to tell her these things over here. Then she'll want to do it for you. Otherwise she'll want to do it for people outside. And then she gets a good comment. It is forbidden for her to adorn herself for all and sundry when leaving the house. A hadith states, a woman who applies perfume, and passes by a gathering is like an adulteress. Allah Ta'ala protect. That she cannot use perfume and leave the house. Because hadith sharif says that she is likened to a zaniya. She is making zina. Why? She is allowing other men to smell her. She is allowing other men, whereas the smell of the woman is reserved only for the husband. Now she's allowing others to share that which is the right of a husband. This is tantamount to zina. We have zina of the nose, we have zina of the eyes, zina of the ears, adultery of the ears, of the nose, where he's used in a haram way with the opposite gender. And she's allowing it, and the husband who is allowing it. We know perfumes have become like a norm now. Whether it's halal or haram, but we have to use it. The young girls are buying online, they have to use it. And only when you leave the house, you should be using the home. Not leaving the home, who are you going to attract? And especially for married couples, you're already married, who are you going to put the perfume for?
Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, it is not permissible for any woman to keep an optional fast without her husband's permission. She can't keep. Qaza, yes, she has to keep. But optional nafil one, she can't keep without his consent. And it is not permissible for her to allow anyone into his house without his consent. Never compared or no mention the handsomeness, character, wealth or generosity of other men to your husband. Look at him, how he's looking after his wife. Don't ever say that to your husband. He'll close up completely his heart. If he's such a good man, the better you go stay with him. So don't make dua. But women now, she says, see how he looks after her. He takes a year, he does this for her and does that for her. Because all social media influences, is all influences now. So they feel my husband is not doing enough. And those that are influencing and putting it on the internet, we know it's an act. They're doing it now to get the likes. And how much really they're enjoying life is questionable now. Husband says most of them are sleeping at night taking what? Valium 5. Antidepressants or sleeping tablets. That's how they're sleeping at night. This is extremely insensitive and may cause jealousy, suspicion and unnecessary doubts in his mind. Accept your husband for what he is and do not cast lustful glances at other men. By doing so, shaitan will beautify the form of these other men. By controlling one's gazes, love for the husband will increase and she will attain the sweetness of iman. Number 14, we'll do 15 and we'll stop. Number 14, do not keep in touch or communicate with any male acquaintances from the past. And the men also. All the old so-called flames, haram flames, they now extinguish them. Take it out. Take it out. Don't keep anything of the past. School days also. One bichara got caught also one day, where his old flame gave him one jacket. Kept the jacket, he got married. After marriage, he was taking a walk in the supermarket wearing the same jacket. The same old flame passed and she stayed looking at him. And the wife said, what's wrong with this girl? She was in a trance. So she touched him. The wife sat next to him. She said, what's wrong with this girl? So she told him, you're wearing the same jacket I gave you. Oh, finish for him. Wife said, this is your favorite jacket you wear every time. This girl gave you. Finished. That he was out already. He was out already. Bijaro got caught after so many years. But he kept it. Don't keep in touch and communicate with any male acquaintances from the past, for the men also. Even if they are just good friends. It's not just good friends. It doesn't happen like that. Now we're hearing more than often that he met her now in the supermarket from school days and he heard she was divorced. So, chalo now. I take care of you. We thought now we'll get married that time. Now we both are settled in life. This is extremely detrimental to the marriage and forbidden. Learn to communicate constructively. Don't shout. Usually they say, why couples shout? Although they're so close. They shout because their hearts have gone far. You can't hear. They still have to shout. But women have to control the anger and their voices. They can't let the neighbors hear now. Old couples used to go in the room and discuss the issues. So learn to communicate constructively. Make a resolution that at the time of a problem, you will sit down and discuss in a dignified manner. Husband, give her the respect at that time also. Without raising voices or being abusive, or you will seek advice from someone you both can confide in. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. We calculate these few points. There's much more right now. It's only number 15. Hazrat has etiquette to number 39. To number 39. So whether we can finish it, khair Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. But as we can see over here, there's so much more for us to learn to make islah of our mu'asharat, our social interaction just with our families only. And if you understand this now, the Shari'i teachings, and how far we are gone, and our homes, how is gone right now? Whether really we have a life or no life. Allah Ta'ala make it easy for us. And make our homes now, Jannati homes, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika.